This 1UP podcast is brought to you by Doritos Unlock Xbox Contest. Visit www.unlockxbox.com to turn your dream into the world's first user-generated Xbox video game.
Hello and welcome once again to GFW Radio. We are back. After a week's break, we were off at E3 and now we have returned. Well, Ryan, you never left, but you're back anyway.
Yay.
Yay. By the way, you didn't state your coup d'etat while we were gone. I came back and I was still boss. What's up with that? You had your big chance.
Nah, I was playing WoW all week.
That's great. At least you were playing a game for once on the PC.
Yep.
So there's a start.
There's hope for you yet.
We're all here. That was Ryan Scott. You heard. Also with us today are...
Darren Gladstone.
Sean Elliott.
Sean Malloy.
And me, Jeff Green. Sean Malloy is looking extra intelligent today because he's wearing glasses.
That's right.
It's the new Sean Malloy. Or is it the
old
Sean Malloy?
Sean Malloy.
Okay.
I lost them 2 years ago. And then I found them again and realized I see much better with them. So I put them back on.
So yeah. You weren't using contacts this whole time?
No.
So the guy who reads the magazine more closely than anyone every month.
No, it's for distance.
Okay. These articles look great. So we're here. We're here. Hi.
That's the best you can say.
We had an exhausting week, except for Ryan, I guess.
Oh, I had an exhausting week, too.
Yeah, it really sounds like it.
Playing WoW all the time?
I had to edit all of you guys' previews.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That you wrote at E3.
Yeah, we were kind of mailing it in, too.
Yeah, it looked better when I was drunk writing it.
Yeah, I wasn't drunk. I was just tired.
I was sober, dude. Crispin Boyer from EGM and I actually suggested that our bylines be the internet. That way we wouldn't have to worry about, I don't know.
That's such a good call.
Our names attached to it. But it was fine, though, and we kept our bylines, and we just stayed up late writing them.
Keeps you honest with the byline.
Yeah, I didn't need a byline on that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you got to look at the
other side,
though.
Not really proud of anything I wrote.
You did better than many people.
Whatever.
What's
the other side, Sean?
We'll just... the world of online, you know, I mean, you need the text up that moment. And I think the thing, you know, not to disparage it because there's a wide variety of stories that will appear online that people want, but I think especially during this convention, if you look at the discussions and message boards and wherever else, people just wanted the fact sheets.
They wanted a general dump.
Yep. Like,
something to discuss for the next one.
How excited are you for it? You know, and is this... No, actually, they didn't even care about that. Is this the best game at the show or is it not? And then tell me, like, five things that you can do in the game, you know?
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
And really, so...
And if you're a Fallout fan, if you're a Fallout fan, there isn't one thing you could have learned about this game that didn't make you want to hate it.
Really?
I'm just saying, I actually like it a lot. I'm talking about the Fallout message boards, which were aflame with hatred no matter what you said. And on my blog, too. Everything is further proof that this game is going to suck. I feel sorry for those guys.
Let's just dig right into that, then. Yeah. Let's go into Fallout. What do they got their panties in the bunch over?
Everything. It doesn't matter. Everything is a further sign that Bethesda's going to fuck it up. Mm-hmm. This is one of those games where, like, with fans like these... You know,
there is no defense unless you...
who needs enemies?
Yeah.
So basically, there is
I've
no
never
defense.
Seen so much hate.
It's like they expect it to be just turn-based or nothing, basically, is what it sounds like.
Kind of, yeah.
It's sort of that. It's sort of they don't like the perspective. They don't, you know, they don't like that it's going to be played out that way. They don't like that Bethesda's doing it. You know, everything that was wrong with Oblivion and previous games is proof that they're going to fuck up this game, according to them.
I mean, that's where I differ right away, is I do think Oblivion is quite excellent. And if you don't...
Well, you obviously don't understand Fallout then, Sean.
You don't understand the intricacies of the vault. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how to appease them.
See, that's the thing.
You
there is no appeasing.
Yeah, they're trying to appease
the
internet.
They are determined to hate this game.
It's the same principle. I'm used to seeing it in the multiplayer shooter space, and this... here's a chance to actually bring up the fact that we work for a magazine. But, you know, our next GFW interview is with Paul Wedgwood of Splash Damage. But one thing that he pointed out, which I found interesting, is that very similarly, you make a game, it does well, people do not want it to change. To the point, and I can vouch for this, you know, where even a patch, there are people that as soon as a new patch comes out, you get the same kind of message board reactions that you're describing, but mm-hmm. oh God, they don't know, DICE doesn't know anything, or yeah. they ruined it again. We're not, we're reverting to the old patch, and everyone who wants to play the real game, stay with us.
Right.
But then what he said that I found funny was that when they first made Wolfenstein Enemy Territory, everyone was like, oh, this is, we don't want anything to do with this. This isn't the real multiplayer Wolfenstein, mm-hmm. you know, that shipped with the game. And then, of course, Wolfenstein Enemy Territory became massive.
Yeah.
Everyone loved it. And then now it's like, oh, God, this game's already perfect. And instead of, why didn't they just remake that with better graphics? Why are they fucking it all up with right. Quake Wars and stuff?
Yeah.
You know?
You can't
and, yeah, you see it over win. And over again, no matter what yeah. the game is. I'm sure with MMOs, it's the same way. And there's just a certain, I mean, I don't know what it is about people. They find something, they like it and love it, and they think it's supposed to be, you know, just like Lennon in his old, you know, waxy
It's been 10 years since the last Fallout game. There's guys who have been on that on the Fallout message boards ever since.
Right.
You know?
You can still play Fallout.
Yeah, it sounds like they were just hoping for more, like, you know, a Fallout expansion pack.
Yeah, that's kind of true. I mean, unless Tim Kaine and those original developers were making the exact sequel to the next game, I just think there was no way that this wasn't going to feel like a betrayal to them.
Yeah. And they haven't seen it. They just heard about it. They're listening, you know.
Right. There really honestly hasn't been that much about the game yet. I mean, someone on my blog, I wrote about it on my blog, and I said something about the humor. And a poster on my blog said something about, well, it looks to me just like it's the humor is like totally juvenile. And I was like, you know, the amount of dialogue they've even released to show off what the humor is going to be like in the game is like 0.00001
right.
of the entire game. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what are you basing that on?
And I wonder,
and the guy
just
responded,
how,
and also,
how,
but his response to that was, okay, yeah, there's that. But Todd Howard, who's the lead developer, he gave an interview at E3. You know, he was demoing the game for all of us, and one of those demos, the transcript showed up online, and he was making, you know, some pretty dumb jokes. Some kind of juvenile jokes. And I said, this is just a guy sitting in a room with a bunch of journalists yeah. just like talking off the cuff. That's not representative of what's going to be in the game. Mm-hmm. But this guy took that as proof of that.
Well, yeah, Todd Howard's probably also, not even writing it.
I mean, I want to go back and play Fallout 2 and just see how with it all the jokes were
well,
on
that,
Fallout 2.
That was what other people, me included, but other people responded back to, is like there was some pretty juvenile humor in those games.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're coloring the past there probably.
Yeah, it's all rose-colored glasses. I mean, you know, I think that Fallout 3, you know, from Bethesda here does have a lot to prove. I thought they gave a great demo at E3. I wrote on my blog, it was the game I'm not going to do a best of show or whatever, but it was definitely the game I felt like I most wanted to play when we got out of there. Because
here's the,
I liked
here's
what
the
I
sad thing is people are freaking out and hating on this game where they did show 45 minutes plus of actual gameplay.
Yeah.
And then they're freaking out, going nuts for like how awesome a freaking third trailer for Metal Gear Solid 4 is.
You know, someone a website declared that, I don't have the exact wording right, but the greatest game that God's Earth will ever give to us.
Oh, yes. God.
Oh, is that the thing she's
and of
around?
Course, yeah someone sent around to laugh at it. But of course, yeah, they show it again, and someone out there, no, that's gameplay. Yeah, okay, it's in the engine, but we're talking about demonstrating what it means
different.
To play the game. In that sense, it's a Kojima game. That is a pretty big part of what it means to play the game, is to watch cutscenes. No knock against them, because they know that's how it works.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, even when you joke, I mean, that's only like, you know, whatever, 1/8 of the experience or something. And they, that's the thing with this whole show, being PC only, we get away from it at times, you know, the whole, I guess fanboyism again and platform wars and stuff. But, you know, being back in the context of E3, it just reminded me of how ugly it all is. When you look at message boards, suddenly you're seeing people in the office that don't know a fucking rat's ass about like a genre, and mm-hmm. I'm all getting all cussing because it's like FPS, but and they're suddenly declaring, you know, Killzone's the best thing I've ever seen or whatever. Meanwhile, like you might be someone that would have said the same thing about Resistance, but having never actually played Resistance even after it came out, you know. But you just see a lot of it's just so weird. You just see how irrational we are in the things we like and the way that we have, you know, the way our opinions are formed and this and that. And there's this other thing about it, too, is that, you know, I was following it online, which was interesting this year because I did feel I had a better sense of the big picture by looking at message boards. But there's such an intense emphasis on the business and economics of the industry.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, there's just massive, massive, you know, just words thrown into arguments about if something's cheap enough, if it's not cheap enough, if they're going to make enough money, are they going to sell enough units, are they ahead, are they behind? Yep. And, you know, while you will occasionally see, you know, there's a list, there's always a list of the charts for movies or Billboard and Music and Rolling Stone or something, but you don't have the majority of you know, those magazines and those mediums coverage is not all about the business and the economics of it. It's more centered on the artist and the art, the actual stuff. And, so that's definitely still there. It's not like it vanished. But I was just trying to make sense of it. Why is that? Why is it that we define our – because we certainly define our – I guess maybe because we're able to define ourselves with the music we listen to. But here it's like the choice we go for a platform or something. This says who I am. So
yeah.
It's going to, you know, I'm going to defend it till the very end. Mm-hmm. And this is,
but that can definitely be the same in music, right? I'm a metalhead. I'm a whatever.
Yeah, but that's, but even go even more specific and say like, I'm strictly Bad Boy. If it's not on Bad, if it's not on No Limit, I ain't playing. I mean, that kind of crap, you know? Or, and then because of it, that means that the very next album that No Limit puts out would then, in your mind, it would come, you would be that much more likely to think it's incredible than if it had come out on, I don't know, Atlantic or whatever. Mercury. I don't know. That was a diversion, but it just kind of got to me. I was just wondering what is it about the gaming industry that makes it such a draw, the business end of the whole bargain.
We're all
dorks.
That's
a fine question.
I don't know. I mean, you do find that in more in the movie industry and TV. I mean, like Entertainment Weekly now, to me, they focus a lot more on like the box office and things like that than they used to. Mm-hmm. People like, I mean, I just saw an article somewhere online today about how the so-called torture porn genre has played out now because Hostel 2 took a big drop in the second week. And I this new dumbass movie with captivity movie with Alyssa, what's her name? Alicia Cuthbert, whatever her name is, from 24, tanked in the first week. So now
I think people like
porn
to, you know, use them as tea leaves for like what they're going to be playing or watching in the future, maybe. Like, if, you know, if this does tank, just like, well, I guess that's the end of
it. And
that
even that,
yeah,
see, that's even different because then that would be like saying, let's note a number of first person shooters made excellent showings this year. And let's look at that trend. Is this, you know, and we always think, okay, that was the year of the FPS. Is it has to be about ready to crest its curve. But then here it is again. That's just different than,
I think it's a sort of just trying to justify the machine that you bought.
I think it
you
is.
Know, I spent the money on the PS3, therefore the PS3 must be the best machine.
Right. You don't have that unless, you know, you're dealing with Blu-ray and HD DVD or something. Then in that industry, people start getting defensive about Blu-ray or HD.
Then you see that. That's a good point.
There's a sense of ownership. And I mean, like, you could look at gaming, music, sports. I mean, hell, I'm a Jets fan for life, and they suck as all hell. But
right,
I mean, there's always everyone finds an attachment to something.
Well, I was a staunch Sega fanboy during the Genesis era because that's all I had, and then I bought an SNES, and suddenly I liked them both.
You'll have to see Gage Me. I went and bought at lunch today a PS3, so you'll have to
dig
see
it.
My
attitudes
really change. Yeah, actually,
traitor.
I went to get a Wii, and they still didn't have it, so I got mad, and I was like, all right, it's like July. You guys still can't get this thing in the store? Fuck you. I don't
You're going to buy it.
So I just bought the other because I already had a few.
Now you can't play Wii Fit?
One? Yeah, I got the – it was on sale. It was $599.
And well, that's a bargain.
That's the cheap one.
I'm just playing. No, of course. I got it. Of course. I got the right one. You know, at E3, when we first checked into our hotel, there was a guy doing some grout work in the bathroom. And he overheard Crispin and me talking.
Yeah.
And he's like, you guys work in video games. You know, I hear you guys work in video games. Can you tell me what console I should get? And so we're talking to him, and it turns out he just bought, 2 days prior, he bought a PS3. And we were like, oh, shit, man. Because it was like the day that they announced the price drop.
I bought mine a month ago. So.
Well, you know about swapping out the hard drives, right?
Yeah, I can do that. No, if the time comes where I need more,
I'm not near that either.
Did you buy any games?
But I borrowed from EGM's awesome library. I borrowed Resistance, Motor Storm, and Darkness, so I can continue to be. I think I got mad when I saw someone on a message board post like, "Okay, well, Sean knows PC FPS and so-and-so knows console one. I was like, shit, man, that's what all those years of reviewing every single console FES ever made got me. Like, so I got to go play more. No, the other thing with Darren, you mentioned sports, you know, and that was one other kind of like cockamamie idea I had, is just that I think, you know, when you're a diehard sports fan, you feel this sort of empowerment in being, you know, like the RBI king or whatever. You know every little bit. You have an excellent command of every statistical detail that's available. And maybe it's something like that, too. I mean, you just some other sense of empowerment where, like, I could tell you that this happened in this month and that this company's stockholders sent a memorandum to so-and-so. And
no, but the thing is, everybody's a geek over something. And they want to claim fiefdom over this little turf so they can feel like an expert over it.
But wouldn't the world be a better place if we just all agreed that we're all the same?
That we're all geeks.
No, but I think it'd be better if we talk more about the games and not the goddamn fuck.
I agree there.
The machine.
But that requires everyone having one console and, you know, everyone having the same console and blah, blah, blah.
Well, hopefully Microsoft will just own us all one day.
God, I hope
that's their plan.
It's all about the games. So what else do we get going? Fallout made a favorable impression.
On me.
Yeah.
Me not on the fans.
No.
What else did we like?
I think we all saw BioShock at some point.
BioShock looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
My thing about BioShock right now, though, is I've seen so little on the game, I've like avoided like basically reading anything about it, even in our own mag. And now we're so close to coming out, I just don't want to know. I don't want to even see it anymore.
It's like
I just
a little
play
off
it.
The way, so
I
just
play it.
Go on radio silence.
It's like I don't want the spoilers.
I had been hearing so much about it and editing stories about it, and this was the first time I had actually watched someone play it since last E3.
Yep.
And when I did, it was kind of like, I got to this point where I'm like, okay, I accept that this is something I'm interested in. Everything I hear about it sounds fascinating. You know, Sean's preview made a very, you know, excellent case for why I should want to pay attention to it. But then when, you know, we sat down and I saw it again, it was just immediate, like, oh God, I got to have this.
Yeah.
This is just so cool. There's so many things. Unfortunately, we watched... I think there's some rule that when you're demonstrating a game, you have to be like one of the least coordinated people in the world. And so we're watching this guy.
They can't jump or something?
Yeah, Sean and I were in the same demo.
I mean, you know, he's trying to fight a big daddy, and at the same time, guys are clubbing him over the back of the head, and the game itself is doing its damnedest to tell him that something bad's happening to him from behind. I mean, so, you know, you're getting the flashes on the screen saying, hey, dude, you might want to turn around and see about shooting this guy. And then, you know, flashing on the screen, it's like, press B to heal yourself. And over again, like, you might want to press B. But still, nonetheless, while you're watching him play, and he is cycling through some of the abilities and stuff, I'm looking at it and saying, okay, here's what I would do. And that was because, you know, everyone does that when they watch someone play a game anyway. Well, I would do this. Mm-hmm. But you could see, oh, what would happen if he tried this? And just looking at the environment, looking at the ways that the AI was behaving, and considering his arsenal both of the plasmid powers and, you know, weapons, it is just great. I mean, like, oh, okay, I know that this, you know, I've read enough to know that, you know, you can put an electrical current through water to shock someone. Mm-hmm. You can hack a drone or something, and all these various combinations of that.
I think it would be a game that's infuriating to watch, even if someone competent was playing it.
Why? Just because you would want to do things?
Just because I would want to do something different. Yeah,
Do that.
That's how I am anyway.
Yeah.
And of course, the environment, the fiction that it's selling through its art is just doing a great job of it. I mean, when you come out of looking at like Halo 3 or something and you see that, it's just, okay, this is awesome. This is not an environment that we've... I mean, who basically is like, let's take John Galt's, you know, Ayn Randian dystopia, put it underwater, and make a shooting video game out of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just genius.
Yeah.
Something else about that, I watched them play it on the controller. You know, they were playing 360 version. I'm sure you can use controller on PC if you're so inclined. But because of the way that he was cycling with the bumper buttons through his available weapons, and because of the variety of weapons and plasma powers available to him, I was already thinking like, oh, this is going to be hot on PC, where I could key each of these to a number, and then that way I can combo them. So, you know, say for example, you might enter an environment where rockets are coming at you or anything. You might not be prepared for it, but you know, rather than having to cycle through, you know, you're a split second too slow. Oh, here's a rocket. I can use telekinesis to catch it in midair. But by the time you work your way to that power, it's too late and it smacked you in the face. So here, you're just like three, boom, and then mouse click one, and I've
suddenly acquired control of this rocket, mm-hmm. can send it back, can redirect it, can do whatever
I choose. Yeah, it could be a lot more reactionary, at least in my reckoning.
I thought they weren't showing it on PC at all? Only on 360?
No, they were, but not in the booth that not in the office.
I think they were at that Microsoft event.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did
we were actually at another hotel where we saw it at a 2K booth.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Speaking of which, I can top your lame demo story with another lame. Actually, I didn't see it, but I heard about it, that there was a Microsoft person who was trying to demo Crysis, and she was moving the mouse, and she didn't have her hand on the keyboard, and she was going, why can't I move forward or backward? She was just moving the mouse.
Just moving the mouse?
Yeah.
But she was there to not to just test it, but to show you what it's like to play.
Yeah.
That's pretty fantastic.
Was someone on a bathroom break or something?
So, you know, they spent however many months preparing this, you know, this chunk of level and making it presentable and doing what they can to fix bugs and stuff. And then then you have that.
And then they got someone from the short bus.
And that's a game where, you know, really anyone could play it and you're going to walk up and go, wow, this is a good-looking game.
Right.
But I found, you know, there's so much you can do in that game that it really will help to have someone on there that's demonstrating, to have the right person on there that says, hey, well, I know that if I bloody someone up and throw them out in the ocean, a shark's going to come and eat them, but this chick doesn't.
Well, frankly,
let's have me get up there and, not me, but so to speak, the guy that, you know, that was at the kiosk that I, in at Barker Hangar where I was watching it.
But, I felt that way about the whole Microsoft press conference, which has probably been talked about to death, but we can do it a little bit here. But I felt that, you know, they put it in this gigantic outdoor stadium, which was just a fantastic locale. I mean, I don't know what kind of money that high school had, but that thing was amazing.
Damn, I wish I was in that high school.
I kept thinking, like, man, if this was only the Pixies instead of Microsoft, this would be fucking great.
I heard that Peter Moore unveiled the new Xbox model, the Thunderous Silence.
Yeah, well, see, that's the point.
It needed
but
a plastic
this is the point
Master
I was gonna
Chief
make.
Cameo glued to the side.
This is the point I was going to make, was that here they have this audience and this amazing locale, and they've got truly a great lineup coming up and great information, and the press conference in a way was such like a whiff. I just thought, like, just in your way of saying, like, they got all this ready for the show and then they had someone lame demo it. Mm-hmm. It's like they had all these resources, all the money it took to get the stadium up, all the time to prepare a decent presentation, and then it was so tin-eared and there were so many like clunker lines. I was like, who was in charge of this that they didn't, like, it needed a better director or something, you know, someone to, like, cut the cheesy parts and pace it better. You know, we were all sitting there like, wah, wah. It was like, you know, stand-up comic that you kept, like, everyone's, like, looking down like, oh, man.
Yeah.
There was a need for a cricket sound effect at some point.
There were moments. I mean, really, the truth is, like, the game's kind of overwhelmed the lameness of the presentation. Mm. So there was cool stuff that we could glom onto. But the speaker, I actually like Peter Moore. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah. I'll let you guys have this conversation because I basically
you've done it already
last week.
Well, we're probably like the 20th podcast about this, so maybe we don't need to go on.
No, we can.
But they did show off a bunch of games that are coming out this year, which is the important part. That
I thought that message was cool. Yeah, their main message. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, that was its blessing. That was like the double-edged sword of that was no exciting new announcements, but when it hits home that all of this really is like within your grasp, then you're like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, that's pretty damn cool then.
Mm-hmm. So. I did like the Rock Band demo. Kind of made me want to get the game, though I'm still skeptical of the practicality of that thing.
Kind of made me afraid of where that start button's located. Kept pausing it.
You like the Rock Band demo where the game, you kept accidentally, where first Peter
kept pausing every 5
kept
seconds?
Well,
was booted from the game for, you know, not hitting enough notes and then.
Well, my main concern is that the drums were so cool that's all anybody would want to play. Every you get your friends together and everybody's going to want to play drums.
So you're going to see
no
Craig's
going to want to play the bass. Bass.
So you're going to see Craigslist postings for like drummer wanted for Rock Band.
Did you see Joe Rubicki's blog, by the way?
No, what was this?
Yeah, former OPM editor, and now a freelance. He had
Edward.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Post. Yeah, the title was like a public service announcement. He opened it up, and the message was, "It's spelled BASS."
Oh,
that was like the whole message.
Nice.
Bass guitar, not BASE. Dumb fucks.
Welcome to the internet.
Editorializing his editorial.
Yeah.
He should have changed it to "for all intensive purposes." It's bass.
And then they had that goddamn Ronco salesman trying to peddle the casual games, which is just wrong on so many
Waja
levels.
Incarnate.
Waja incarnate.
This is you just push a button?
I know.
Did you guys do this on, what, on One Up Yours?
Yeah, the first day, the first week, first show last week, yeah. It was
plus
like
I've had this conversation like every hour on the hour during E3, I think.
There's like right. So many names. The guy you bring up, here's the part where I call him the king of all real estate from American Beauty. Someone else yeah. called him... you know, timeshare salesman and this and that.
Do you think he gives a shit if he's heard all this?
I don't think he cares because, I mean...
Doesn't he have a swimming pool full of money?
He probably does.
That makes you not care about a lot of things.
Yeah.
That sucks the care right out of the room.
I'm getting the attention. That's all that matters.
All right. Well, so fuck that.
Thank you.
It's been done.
Wind taken out of
so
that sail.
What else were we playing? We were just talking about Bioshock, a little mention of Crysis demo.
What else did we like? Are we buying the hype of Call of Duty 4? Because the show certainly became Call of Duty 4 love fest by the end of the week there.
It totally did.
Sure, yeah. Looks good. That's good salesmanship right there, if anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent demo for that.
Yeah, it looked really good.
It's odd because, you know, we had seen in a private showing many months ago those levels and more. And it was we all were like, yeah, this is definitely cool. But it was like, this is exactly what I'd expect, you know? I was like, Infinity Ward, Call of Duty, contemporary combat setting, went there like exactly what I was expecting to see. Mm-hmm. But then now, once it's shown to the world, suddenly it really was kind of like the most talked about, if not the, I mean, certainly one of the most talked about games of the show. I mean, and I'm thinking it will probably, you know, when they do all those various awards we like to harp on, it will probably be, you know, crowned game of the show. Even though no one even played it other than Infinity Ward and Activision staff. But, yeah, I've said before, it's just puzzling to me that I'm trying to put my finger on exactly where or what it is about this game that's getting everyone excited and not just those of us that who are traditionally excited. And, you know, because for me, I was ready to sign up the moment they said Infinity Ward and Call of Duty, you know.
Mm-hmm. Does the modern setting help, maybe?
I think it does. And I think... I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, I'm wondering, are people... There's definitely a much more muted reaction for Halo this year, and I'm wondering if this is me just being going out on a limb or thinking that it's also kind of like it's peaked already. And
I'll tell you what, I think
it'll peak again
is.
when 3 comes out, but I mean, I know...
I think it's partially the clever editing of the people who make these demos and these clips. I think that at the Microsoft event, the Call of Duty 4 trailer was like kind of a movie quality. The pacing was great.
Right.
There were moments of total like tense silence or whatever.
Right.
And I think people are the way a movie trailer can do that to you too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, this looks like the greatest movie ever, and it turns out to be a piece of shit. But the 2-minute trailer ruled.
Right.
Well, plus they played
and the
some.
Halo trailer sucked.
Yeah, that was just a poorly put together trailer. I didn't see it at the show, but from what I've heard from people who did, they're like, oh, it's way better than the trailer was.
Right. I did get a gameplay demo of Halo 3, and in fact, it looked way better than the trailer. And after the demo was over, I asked the Bungie guys, I was like, why wasn't this stuff in the trailer? Because this makes me want to play your game now.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird. But so that makes me think that people get fooled by trailers. This is game of the show because they
do,
made a very dramatic
people
looking
were
trailer.
Exposed to more footage of COD 4 than just that that Microsoft
yeah,
showed
true.
Their press conference. Yep. And again, I mean, they make a if you want to make a quick impact on someone, that's a great game to do it because it's loud as hell.
Yeah.
It's there's stuff going on everywhere. And if you're not really familiar with the conventions and the way that the thing's assembled and you know, the tricks of the trade, I think you can see it and you're like, this is mind-blowing. Especially, you know, when you compared it to Killzone, which everyone – and that I honestly believe that, you know, not a PC game or not even remotely related, but it's a game where I think people that have thrown their hat in with Sony and have committed to this is my system, this is going to define me as a person, kind of went little ape shit on that one, you know? So, I mean, I saw all the stuff, and the gameplay that they demonstrated for that, it looked far less appealing to me than in Call of Duty 4. Mm-hmm. I keep calling it Call of Duty 4. That's what it's internally known as there, Modern Combat. But, I mean, you just see, you know, no real demonstration of AI. You see basically a guy navigating a maze and guys standing and shooting, and, you know, you walk up to him and shoot them. And if you compare it to the CG that they showed, I still feel that there needs to be an atonement for that, you know? I can't believe how everyone let it slide. And suddenly now,
Sony itself is producing like comparison thing. It's like for 2 years. I mean, when was it that they officially admitted that that thing was CG from the
months afterwards, right?
I don't think it was that because I remember reading in various magazines stories where they were discussing, you know, as recently as, you know, maybe 6 months ago, where they're discussing the true potential of this platform, this console, and what at that showing was real and not, and they were still saying it was real.
You know the funny thing is about all this though is like Guerrilla Games, the guys behind that. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've made a couple games already, and not one of them has backed up this. Like,
no, they have
all
no.
The support.
Yeah, they have no.
They did the Vietnam
no
game from IDOS for the PC.
Yeah, no pedigree whatsoever that would lead you to believe that they're capable of really and you know well and truly delivering.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
it's
like,
not it's not Valve or something like that. You know, it's
exactly.
Not, but you know, not to knock on the game, I want it to be great too. Like I just bought a thing today, and I want something. I damn well want something good for it. But looking at what was shown there, it's easy to see how in that kind of environment, you look at COD and you say, all these things are happening, explosions and helicopters are coming in, and you know, Garnet from One Up Yours was just really odd. He was going off on basically what was the scripted stuff. And it was interesting for me because you know now I think now I'm more into, after the Crysis demo, I'm more into just like letting stuff happen and seeing what I can make happen. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, you know, when I replay those levels, they will be in COD, they will be largely the same. That at this point I'll be able to, like if I had friends over, then I'm essentially running a demo. I know where to turn my camera so that no one misses the...
Should we go over some of the... We kind of breezed past it, but should we go over some of the stuff that we... like, because you and I both played Crysis.
Go ahead.
Did you guys hit it too?
Yeah, I saw Crysis. Yep,
I saw. Did not play.
Didn't play.
I mean,
still looked fantastic.
I mean, I didn't play it nearly as long as Sean did. I mean, I only was there for like a good 20 minutes, half an hour. But like, I was just exploring the world and just like, the amount of detail and stuff that I thought was just really amazing was so like I was meleeing some guy, choking him with one hand, and as you see him, like as I'm choking the life out of him, his eyes roll back in his head, his eyelids close, and I throw him away, and he just kind of like flops over and through a wall. Mm-hmm. And I try to like chain stuff and like knock them off of other people. I played it like three different ways, trying a whole bunch of different things. And Sean, I know that you were trying some really crazy stuff.
I hit it up like, well, I had an appointment in Barker Hangar, so I played it for about half an hour, and then I went back when I had some time on Thursday and played in two more extended sessions. where eventually it was cool. The guy there from Crytek. Was like, hey, just keep playing. And it was funny because it was all like this little ego boost. He's like, you're making it look really good. So I was like, and I thought, and then I later told Brian, I'm like, yeah, man, look what he told me. And he's like, made me feel like the biggest dork. And he's like, yeah, man, you got what it takes to be a game demonstrator. But because I just played it and played
it.
And,
take much.
And yeah, it reminds me of when Metal Gear Solid 2 came out. First they released a demo of it with the game Zone of the Enders. And if you remember at the time, a lot of us got it and just played it again and again, even though it was just a little demo. One, because it was state of the art and indicated what sort of power your PS2 had in it. And so that was mesmerizing. But the gameplay itself, it was loaded with Easter eggs, even in this little, even in a little demo stretch of that game. There was stuff to look for, and then they're also like, let's push the limits and see what I can get away with. Let's see what the game developers anticipated me doing, and how will they reward me for doing it. So I had the same feeling the whole time I was there. I just wanted to sit and play that all day and take it home, and even though it was just this one level, because there was so much variability, so many options, and consistently just a great deal of reward for that kind of thinking. You know, everything from just, you know, like I said, the sharks out in the water and ways to engage the level. And I said this, you know, I'll cut it off here because I like, this is something else I talked about on another show. But, you know, for me, single player, a really engaging single player, you know, campaign that I want to see is going to give me the feel that I have when I play a great multiplayer game where, you know, I'm playing Battlefield. Some of the most entertaining moments are when you just have this harebrained idea and you say, you know what? I'm just going to do this. And if it doesn't work, then whatever. It doesn't work. I just start spawn again. And the equivalent here, where you just load again, just hit your quick load key. And knowing that this is an experience that I can largely construct for myself. The enemies are going to surprise me and do things. And it's getting really close to that, you know. Some of it's literal, where you're using vehicles and jumping in and out, switching the gun positions on them,
you know, trying, if at first you fail in one direction, you can take another route and say, hey, all the clanners are over at the TV station, screw them, I'm going to go try to take the alleyway or something, and maybe mm-hmm. there's just one guy back there. And it's really getting close to that, and it's I'm definitely appreciating it. I hope if they can get it to run well and they make sure the AI, you know, works properly throughout the game, I mean, I'm seeing some serious potential.
You know, I noticed some of that behavior and opportunity in Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway as well, in terms of the stuff that I saw demoed. Mm-hmm. I saw a couple missions where Gearbox was really demonstrating that to solve whatever problem there was or whatever the goal was, there were, you know, multiple angles of entry there.
Right.
And that the AI would respond to that. You mm-hmm. know, that it was not just nonlinear, but truly open. I mean, all there was the goal. And whatever you came up with to get to there was totally your call.
In their game, there's to an extent, it's a little more constricted in that, like, you know how they're showing off the destructible environments? You have a right. bazooka team, a mortar team, machine gun team.
Right.
And it's clearly, you know, parts of the environment are coded to explode. Mm-hmm. And when you put your crosshairs to issue a bazooka fire command on something, uh-huh. it will either appear or it won't appear. And that yeah. way you don't have the problem of saying, well, why when I hit the church tower does it blow up? But why when I hit this, like, shitty little shack does it uh-huh. not phase it? So mm-hmm. it's kind of a neat way to prevent that, you know, mm-hmm. to help you suspend your disbelief. But, yeah, that aside, I mean, they put you in a field. Guys will come in, and they'll take up positions. And then from there, yeah, just like you're saying, you can – however you decide to work around them, they will respond. They're not going to just sit there, mm-hmm. you know, every time. Like, if you do flank them and if you don't have other guys suppressing them in that position – you'll lose that flanking opportunity.
Exactly.
They'll yeah. relocate. They're smart enough to say, yeah. I'm going to jump behind this wall now and, you know.
Right. I mean, that's what I thought was cool, the whole suppression idea.
That's a good game. I can't wait for that to come out, especially after playing Medal of Honor Airborne.
Though it won't be the same playing it without the colonel there that they had as the color Littell. Commentator.
Colonel
they
Littell. Got that.
Yeah, who provides color commentating while
Rain from Epic was clowning on him
yeah.
when I was there. And it was
I want to clown on that guy to his face, man.
I know. Well, he did. And that's why it was so funny. It was yeah. so, it got to this awkward pitch because, okay, you know, they want
shows
to,
in that room.
They want to give you an element of just concern for the people that are involved in war
right.
in this game. One of the levels has to do with a guy who has a family back at home, kind of like losing his stuff. Not his stuff literally, but, you know, losing his shit and running house to house deciding he's going to rescue civilians that happen to be, you know, caught in the crossfire. Mm-hmm. And that jeopardizes the mission and your ability to directly fight the enemy. So as he's talking about this, Colonel John Intel goes, you know, what did he say? We want, you know, we almost want you to have, you know, this moment where I can't remember what he said. He didn't say weep, but something. We want an emotional roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And so for immediately Mark Rain is like, an emotional roller coaster, John. He's like, you used to use those hands to choke the life out of men. He's like, now you use them to cover your eyes when you're crying at your own game. And,
John, oh,
immediately,
man.
This guy was like, you could tell it brought back the soldier in him where like yeah. he's got like a name to defend. He uh-huh. doesn't want to be the softy, and it was all uh-huh. awkward. And then it led into talk about like, oh, John never goes anywhere without a gun. He doesn't uh-huh. use his hands anymore because he uses a gun. It was all like, and then then Mark just kept lipping off, and it eventually diffused it because he's such a jester that it was like, all right, uh-huh. nowhere to go from there.
Yeah. Oh, man. But at home, the colonel's got Mark Rain's like photo on the wall.
Yeah.
He's dead one day.
50 cal slug through it.
He's got some satellite photos and intel about where he's going to be in
they're
the
both
next
nice
week.
Guys.
Yeah, they're both
it
really
was,
nice
it was
guys.
Fine. It was a funny moment.
Yeah. So I would say overall, it was. I hate to say it was a good show for the PC, but it actually was a good show for the PC.
I say we've all seen so much stuff. I think we should just keep talking about it unless we're out of time or something.
Well, we should take a break, though.
I don't want
to
take a
break. We could take a break.
You
don't even want a podcast. Now you don't want to take a break.
We got to take a break.
We have to take a
break. Mandated.
Right. For our sponsors. We'll be right back after these good words from this great person.
Naruto.
Naruto.
Budokai.
This 1UP podcast is brought to you by Doritos Unlock Xbox Contest. Visit www.unlockxbox.com to turn your dream into the world's first user-generated Xbox video game.
Okay, so okay, we're back. Why are you singing Naruto before the break? Are you into that shit?
Well, okay, we were talking about how we were assigned like all these previews to write for the website.
Yep.
Well, I shared a room with Crispin, and just there's this habit I have called I call it utterances, and it's just saying dumb. It's almost like a Tourette type scenario.
I've never been diagnosed
with anything. I mean, I can totally control it, so it's not that. But I just like to run off at the mouth. And
you?
So he was, yeah, me. Leave it. And so he was writing previews, and he got stuck with all the bell ends of the show. So he was writing about like,
well, hasn't he like a senior dude over at EGN?
Does he have any kind of choice?
He is, but he's a good sport, and I think maybe that's where he got burned. And it's fun. We found that it's probably more fun in some cases to write a preview for like, you know, carnival games for Wii, or you know, he did Naruto and another Dragon Ball game. And Godzilla Unleashed. It's like, when was Godzilla ever leashed? But so as he was writing them, I was like, all right, I'm going to help you. Because the night before, we had been up till like 3:30 or whatever writing. I was like, let's just get these done. And let's just throw jokes at one another and we'll turn them into a preview. Mm-hmm. So, you know, with Dragon Ball, I was like, this is going to come back to Naruto. Trust me. So with Dragon Ball, I was like, this is really like, you know, when Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was kind of like on its like 15th season or something.
Yeah.
And all the kids that made it successful in the first place got to the point where they had that condom in their wallet that stayed there until they graduated that they're hoping to use but never used. So I told him, I'll write that. And he's like, I don't want to write that. There's only going to be kids clicking on this. So that got turned to like, you know, kids working at Arby's now. But so in the course of all this, the utterances started coming out, and it's like, what's the next one? Oh, so I was singing songs about Budokai and then Naruto, and then we went through, now I forget, any song that has kind of like a na-na-na section, redoing it with Naruto. So Hey Jude, of course, was like one of the good ones. So we were just singing that all the time that we were trying to help him write it. So singing, serenading him with Naruto.
You were his muse.
Yeah,
you've ruined Hey Jude for me now.
And I'm the one who makes fun of that role in Ryan's Lord of the Rings Online. Maybe I should do it. Ryan, you don't get it?
Huh?
You know, the bard, the character, you sing to other people to help him do something.
I don't play that guy anymore.
You're playing WoW.
He's beyond that. He's all up in WoW.
Back on the WoW.
So let's, Sean.
Hi.
What really got you excited? What were you happy to see and pleased with?
Got me excited. That's a fine question. I think we covered the ones that really did, like BioShock and Fallout.
Or not, just other musings. We both saw Conan MMO.
We did see Conan. That did not get me excited, however.
It wasn't the what did we call that? When the titties appear?
Whoa.
There's titties in Conan?
Rewind.
Yeah. But it's like one of the buffs. It will summon
there's an implant buff.
It will summon basically just the disembodied, just gorgeous disembodied breast, but with like a cobra head on
like
top of it.
Yeah, some sort of
all
wait,
the glory.
Like it was semi-Egyptian.
Breasts appear in the air.
So no, I think it was just like a priest casting, you know, forward fortitude or something that would increase your stamina. But the graphic
so
card
the
was...
But
it kept,
follow
it just
you
kept
around,
appearing. So
yeah,
in my mind, it was like, okay, make titty. Like, you know, three, make titty.
We're losing him.
I didn't know what it was doing, but I knew he was
making
titty.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, it was keep the game journalist awake button. It's not even part of the game. Look, guys, tits.
But every time it happened, I was like,
you know, there was speaking. That whole thing was kind of one of those awkward scenarios where, I mean, not because I feel awkward when I see a pair of floating tits and a snake head on them, but like because when we
who doesn't see those? I don't need a game for that.
I call that Tuesday.
But first, we walked into the booth. There's one. It was basically a bunch of guys, and there's one infamous dude, and little Alice is with us. You know, recent. To join OneUp.com.
Intern at OneUp.
Is the only woman in there with us. And immediately, this guy makes the sausage party joke, which is like, okay, we were just waiting for it. But then he goes, I got dibs or something. And puts his arm around Alice. And she's just like, what's going on? You know, like this is... And then they show us, like, you know, just Conan just getting all ripped and buffed out and chopping heads off fools and shit. And then,
like a CG
some
movie.
Hot-ass babe running by his side, you know.
Yeah.
And then after that,
being
you walk through the door, and then they had some really attractive, you know, real women dressed up in Conan wench uniforms welcome us into the demonstration room. And then all of a sudden, next thing, it was the titty make button. And so it was just like the whole thing. And then Alice was like, can you make a female character? And no one in the room knew the answer, dude. It was so bad. It was like, oh, God.
Wow. Yeah.
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 What about the game itself?
It's hard. We were having this conversation before that it's really hard to demo MMOs because if you don't know exactly what is going on with each character's abilities,
right?
Especially in this case because they were having terrible lag problems. Yeah, it just looks like utter nonsense.
The entire hotel was sharing one really.
It just looks like complete nonsense. You can't tell what's going on. I mean, because you know how MMOs are. You have someone with a sword swinging at the air, you know.
Yeah.
Vaguely facing in the right direction.
Yeah.
And, like, that happens in World of Warcraft. It happened in EverQuest. It happens in this. And they're trying to explain to us mm-hmm. how, you know, how innovative the combat system is because, you know, you can sweep to the left or sweep, you know, upper right to the lower left or whatever.
And depending comparing on how you, it to like, Tekken and stuff, right?
Yeah, like they're saying there's more, like, fighting game moves kind of. Maybe not okay. that, not, but, not
but
that
when,
level.
But when you watch it, though... It's
but yeah,
just,
it just looks like chaos.
It's like
utter
a circus
nonsense.
Of bad choreography, you know, where one guy kind of hunches over in front of you and you just swing your arm around and then he just stands there. See, that was the problem. They showed us this high-quality CG work where, you know, Conan is just lopping off limbs and single sword strokes, right? Mm-hmm. But then they show us this demonstration and there's, like I said, there's guys just kind of hunched over as Conan is just wailing on him like he's trying to tenderize a goddamn steak, you know, and he didn't let thaw.
Right, and there's no sense of physical
happening.
Contact. There's no...
So, but the MMO, you know, so much of that experience... So much of the MMO experience is social, or is with your friends. And, you know, when you're talking... When you think about your best WoW moments, it's... Half of it's going to be supplied by players, right?
Yes.
And Sean said something, and you responded, and then he made his character do this. But then when you're just watching MMO combat... You know, I mean, you're really missing the big picture. And then when in the next booth, there's a demonstration of a game like Heavenly Sword or something where the entire basically, you know, game processing budget and memory for, you know, is for animations for attacks and stuff like that.
Right. Certainly the combat usually ends up being one of the least exciting things to watch, especially as a non-player. I mean, you get into it and you accept it once you are playing that MMO. But to be showing it off to someone as to why you should play the game... I mean, if that's how you approached WoW, you wouldn't want to play WoW.
No, you know, just, even WoW was utter nonsense.
So he hits me, and then I wait, and then I hit him.
Well,
even when you have
the 20 skills that you eventually get or whatever, and you are switching between them, you can't.
Well,
it
it's
doesn't
sort of
look like anything.
Right? It's like when Sean, when you stand behind us and you're making fun of us because we're just like clicking random buttons and then it hits. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, from that perspective, that is how it looks. But in fact, there is a lot more going on.
In
than
your
that.
Mind, you're doing the math where when exactly. it, like minus 19 appears over the head, you're imagining like, God, just hurt that guy.
Well, and not just the but not just the numbers, but also I'm going to stun him and then I'm going to do this. I mean, there's some strategy involved, which you can't convey.
Yeah,
just
you
by
know
watching.
The character, you know his weaknesses. You're like
playing him for 70 levels.
You know, you know what it was, or the type of enemy. You remember what it was like when you first encountered him and he beat the shit out of you and it pissed you off, and then you finally figured out like that some excellent combination of attacks and coordination with allies would work against him.
Right, you need this kind of character to do this kind of damage because he's weak to this sort of thing. I mean, there is a game there, but if you're to demo it would be really hard. I think you know, I think you'd want to focus more on like the world itself, or
and when you try, like you said, you have no attachment to the character you're playing. Mm-hmm. I think the bottom line is we agree that it's we don't envy you when you're demonstrating an MMO in an environment like that.
However, I did get a great demo of I think probably the game that most surprised me at the show. Especially because Ryan's been talking about it for a long time, and I tend not to trust him.
I told you guys.
Was Pirates of the Burning Sea. Yarr. They gave a great demo for that game. They really did. I was pretty convinced by the end of it. It was just very, and it's not just because of the pirate scene, because that could just be a novelty,
Pirate scene.
The pirate scene. But
what's going on in the pirating scene?
But the gameplay mechanics, as they described them in detail, you know, these guys really are trying hard to do some different stuff there, which is vague.
What all did you see?
Well, they showed the four different factions, which are interesting. Pirates, French, Spanish, and...
English,
thank you.
No, yeah. Dutch.
No Dutch, yeah. And they made the inevitable, you know, I asked, well, like, so, you know, what's going to be the incentive to not be a pirate? I mean, everyone's going to want to be a pirate. Who wants to go into an MMO and then be French?
Called Pirates of the...
called Pirates of the Burning Sea.
Well, you could be a French pirate.
You can actually can be...
I'm sure the pirates are composed of all nationalities.
The pirates can only be pirates.
Non-denominational pirates.
I think you're like a privateer.
Right. Yeah, you're like a privateer. The national ones get other different class types.
And they're not pirates.
They are not pirates. So everybody's going to
Everyone's
going to
be a pirate.
Right. But they're aware of that.
I mean, Spanish.
They're going to try to incentivize you to be Spanish or French. You'll get special abilities as a Spaniard. I don't know what those are.
What are those? Yeah. I was about to say, you'll get special abilities as a pirate too, right?
I guess you will.
You're not selling me on this, man.
I'm not
so
doing
far,
a good job.
All I know is that you could be a Spaniard, a French, a pirate.
What? You don't want to play a game like that? You could be French, Sean.
There are a million games that let me choose between that.
you get a uniform if you're French. You get a French uniform. Does that do it for you yet? I have you sold yet?
That's not all, Sean.
Do it a great job.
If you play our game...
So did they show you, like, the ship combat?
They showed ship
stuff?
Combat? Okay, so that's it. You know, a good percentage of the game takes place roaming around the land and doing, I think, sort of regular kind of quests. But a good part of the game takes place on the open sea, where you're involved in ship combat with other players, both players and, I guess, NPC ships as well. And the ship combat looked pretty sophisticated for a game of this nature, where facing mattered. You know, there's all sorts of things. Your ship is upgradable as it goes along. You'll get better ships as you go along.
Can you make a pair of breasts appear above your ship?
But you could probably put a pair of breasts on your sails.
That's right, customizable sails.
You can customize
sails.
The sails?
You yeah. can. Of course,
Any,
they are going to
have...
Well, they're going to filter it, of course, okay. You know.
That's a good... not to cut you off of Pirates, but yep. That's a good transition into the whole like UT3 and content created on PC going on the PS3.
We could go into that. Let me
just a quick. Let's not. You're not done with Pirates, but just but the whole like you know titty on the top sail is kind of like is kind
of
that's
the subtitle of the game. By the way,
that was Game of Show. Well, as soon as they announced like that would be a good with like one C to publish or something.
Titty on the top sail.
Yeah,
but it's something entirely different in Russia.
Yeah. But as soon as you start. Talking about, yeah, let's put content created on PC can go over to consoles. And again, this is something that would happen, it might potentially happen with Gears of War, but the difference being that Microsoft and Epic would oversee specifically what content is passing through that tunnel.
Their filter.
Not so much on PS3. And it's like, as soon as you let people make whatever they want on their cars and Forza, you got like the Hitler mobile and like all kinds of bullshit, you know? So it's like, you could do anything. If you're letting people create a map for your game,
yeah,
you can just have like the Goatsy trophy room and all kinds of stuff. You know, you just like flick a switch and it's nothing but Harlequin babies and the most like rotten filth you've ever seen.
What does that say about humanity? Everybody goes to the worst place immediately.
tough girl.
Humanity sucks.
It will happen though. I mean, I think on PC people got used to it. Like at first, it was the craziest thing with the spray tags and source. You're like,
yeah, sure.
Oh God, we could do some great stuff with this. And then it kind of just died out. Now it's like you'll see it, but only now and then. It's not the obsession because I think at the time, like even for me, the time we figured it out, I got all my friends together and we took a huge image, chopped it up into multiple pieces so that we could recombine the collage in Team Fortress and basically like cover the entire world with like the most obnoxious filth possible. But we all had to go into a certain place. You know, like when you
give people cards
in a stadium and have them stand up and spell something, and we'd know that like, okay, you know, your top center spray, your top left.
So each individual tag was not offensive, but when you put it together.
It was a puzzle, yeah, that became combined a portal to enhanced filth.
That's very smart. Well, I'm sure that whatever filters they try to put on in Pirates of the Burning Sea, no matter how clever they are, someone's still going to have the flying penis.
That's what will happen.
The Jolly Roger.
Right. It's like all the naming filters in WoW. They're still, you know, even in my own guild, every other character is cocaine, mass murder, you know, penis spelled with a one or whatever. You know?
Right. And there's people policing that, but they can't.
They can't stop it all.
Can't do it all. Yeah.
If it was Xbox Live game, all the top sales would have all the main sales would just be like
Mountain Dew.
What is it? No, like Fight Club posters and
Yeah.
You know, the usual arrangement.
Yeah, Darren, that was actually a good call, though, too. They could just sell all those sales.
Oh,
I'm riding the Pepsi, the USS Pepsi.
Choose an icon from an upcoming movie.
Pay for your...
Right.
Yeah, that's good.
Is Die it Hard 4.
Animated.
The boat.
Yeah. I want Shia LaBeouf on my thing here.
What's that?
The kid in Transformers.
So. Oh, Jesus.
That's his name.
The Transformers boat.
Shia LaBeouf.
The beef.
Yeah. So the ship combat looked good. There's this whole metagame going on. I think that was one of the more interesting things. I don't know if you felt the same way, Ryan, but this whole control of ports throughout the Caribbean, where you're going to be fighting for turf, for different
trading rights,
domination over a port, which will give you, you're right, trading rights. It'll give you access to more resources for all the players on that particular nation. And the bigger metagame going on is that, you know, you're basically vying for control of the entire world map. And at some point, it will get down to a big epic battle in which one of the four factions is going to control the entire map, basically be declared winner.
Well, what happens?
Well, then they hit the magic reset button. And okay,
what happens in, like, any realm versus realm combat kind of scenarios is usually there's one side where everyone flocks to.
Yes, and I asked them about that, and they have a whole handicapping system set up where that could happen for a little while, but over time, if one particular faction in one particular server is just completely dominating, the handicapping system will be as such that eventually they cannot keep controlling it. They'll be penalized enough with points, or the other teams will get enough advantage with other points that they'll get that taken away from them.
Okay, because there's an MMO I saw at NCSoft called Aeon, which is like another Korean MMO.
Is that
A-E-O-N?
A-I-O-N,
yeah.
A-I-O-N?
And it has realm versus realm. There's like the people, the demons above versus the angels below or something strange like that. And if one side gets lopsided, you fight over the abyss in the middle. There's this third NPC faction that will fight the people who are more strong and kind of try to balance it out. So it seems like it's a common thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I liked it. I don't know. I know I haven't really done it.
You're just making... I'm not doing that face, dude. You're just like...
yeah, I give up.
Very Muppety.
Yeah,
Muppety. Those are the boarding party combat, too. That look kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. You can board ships. You can either sink them outright or you can board them. If you board them, you'll get fatter loot.
Get their booty.
But there's a chance that you will... that they could... take back the ship, that you won't succeed.
Making with the swashbuckle.
Right. If you sink the ship, you'll get less good loot. In fact, they were, at some point in the game's development, when you sank the ship, you actually got no loot because the loot sank to the bottom of the ocean. Mm. But then they realized, so what's the incentive?
Is this all entirely, is it die rolling stuff? I mean, is it like physics based cannon fire, or is it you just click on their ship and then it rolls a die?
I'm assuming
like a
die
firing
roll.
Arc.
There's
firing arcs and there's
right.
Arc,
the wind did play a piece in it. Right, you know that would definitely affect your two hit ability.
Well, is it actually pushing the cannonball, or is it just like a resistance modifier like in WoW or something? The wind.
Yeah, that I'm not sure.
I was thinking a hot sail would be just a big, like, giant set of ass cheeks because, like, then with the wind blowing behind it, it would be like, that'd be sick.
I think with MMOs, we're still at the point where that's die rolls.
Yeah. So, so obviously I don't have a career ahead of me in pitching games on the internet.
In a reductionist way, though, would you say, would it be fair to say something like Sid Meier's Pirates but expanded into MMO form? Or is that just too basic?
No, that's because Pirates had, I think, more dimensions than this. I mean, this is probably more like standard MMO translated into this kind of world.
The ship combat was kind of similar. I mean, not...
To Pirates?
Sort of.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of similar to Pirates. You're right. Yeah, but there's no ballroom dancing in this game.
Oh, damn it.
Sid Meier's Pirates.
No stealth sequences?
Yeah, not that I saw.
Yeah,
that's good actually.
Visited our friends at 1C, which is I got their catalog in front of me right now.
Yes, sir.
It's actually worth reading from.
Is it time to talk about Necrovision?
This is, in a way, when you see it, this is so dumb. But I said to myself, I'm like, that's the Bo-Rad of video games.
just because like I got the manual and I saw, you know, like now servicing basically every, you know, one of the Central Asian stands. So, you know, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Kyrgyzstan. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. And then, you know, you read the descriptions for like Necrovision was actually a cool and interesting game. It has some of the guys that made Painkiller,
which we liked here,
which was
GFW.
Fun and just goofy as hell.
Uh-huh.
And so this thing too, you're looking at, it's basically World War One, and all of a sudden demons and vampires and all sorts of randomness like break through, and it with World War One weaponry, and then with demonic and vampiric weaponry, you're continuing the fight. But so, I mean, you have to imagine, you know, like, whatever, Baron von Richthofen flies over, and then suddenly a demon is just tearing at the canvas of his plane or something. And then,
I'd play that.
But it did look cool. I kind of was like, you know, and it was kind of, this is a fun game, and it runs well. It's used DX9 and stuff, but in a weird way where almost every game in this book, in this brochure, is the most arbitrary collection of just the weirdest genre stereotypes and just things just thrown in, but like some now and then they pull it off and it works. It's like, that's okay. That's, you know, it's basically Painkiller. It's like, that's just
that sums it up.
It's too hard to describe, but they manage a way to describe it. And so this isn't quite Hero the Web, but it's interesting. I mean, right. I have a real hero for later, but this is just like the game Necrovision. Is the year is 1916. Young American joined UK Army to experience adventure of his life and soon realizes that greater evil is hiding beneath the Great War Storm. He has to face the underground world of vampire, demon, evil genius creature, and even become one of the demon to rescue the human and vampire kind from forces of darkness. Necrovision is a next-gen first-person shooter taking place in a variety of locations from battlefield of World War I to much darker and brutal underground world of vampires and demons. Sceneries range from realistic to dreamlike, opponents from enemy troops to fantasy creatures. Old-fashioned look and style of the game is going to remind the world setting from the Lovecraft horrors and seamlessly mix the war-shooting elements into it. Player will fight enemies using environments, powerful and evil artifacts, vampire technology, and authentic World War I-era weapons.
Authentic vampire technology, too.
Authentic vampire technology. Old-fashioned look and style of the game is going to remind the world setting from Lovecraft's horror. So that was pretty rad.
Yeah.
Man, someone ran that through Babelfish, didn't they?
I'm glad that they came out, though. Oleg Maddox of ILT didn't make it out, though.
That's
too bad. Just works by his own clock, and I wanted to see. I was definitely looking to see Storm of War, Battle of Britain. His next flight's in there, but we have to wait.
No.
I'm sure it's going to be Germany next month for the big convention there.
All right.
When is Necrovision coming out, anyhow? Do you remember?
I don't know, dude. Soon for all that. That was something interesting about the Stalker prequel that was there too. It just showed up, and it was, you know, like when I spoke to him, it was just kind of like the product manager associated with GSC Game World. They had no publisher support there, and that was interesting because you'd think that if Stalker performed well, and now here we are back into the business thing, but only, you know, in this specific contest, if it performed well, you'd think that THQ would say, hey, it was a great game. Sold reasonably well. We're behind it.
Yeah.
Here's a prequel. It looks like they learned from their lessons. It's got. I mean, they learned from their. They learned lessons from the creating and releasing Stalker. Yep. As it's Shadow of Chernobyl. Mm-hmm. This is what called Stalker Clear Skies.
Stalker Clear Sky. Yeah.
And you know, it looks better. It sounds like they're doing all kinds of fun stuff with it. But I'm just curious. You know, is someone going to pick it up? I hope they do. Or is it just going to be downloadable?
Almost going. Well, I mean, they're talking about a full prequel for this.
That's
thing.
Not an expansion. Yeah, it's a standalone. It's a full game.
It's gonna be optimized for DX10. Which means, I mean, it's obviously gonna look better. But I wonder if it's gonna still be a resource hog.
The character models and everything. I suspect that it was running really smooth there, which was interesting. You know, and actually, you know, Stalker, I got it to run quite well for me. You know, it just took a while.
It took a lot of tweaking.
Had to mess with the settings a bit. But yeah, that was something else interesting. Any of you guys try Mercenaries 2?
I tried a little bit of that. I was more to be fighting off a crouch and I'll watch it because there was a lot of people around that one.
Yeah, it was popular. It was good. Pretty fun. I thought it kind of reminded me of
of Kane and Lynch in a way, you know? Like, and I was thinking, what's the studio that's making that?
IO Interactive.
IO.
Yeah,
when they've done games and IOS has published them, like the Hitman games, they're always usually really good, but there's something, they just lack sort of the final coat of varnish on them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how, and of course, this is because it was a demonstration of an unfinished game, and that could just be it. But Mercenaries had that same vibe. Mm-hmm. It looked completely fun. It looks like it's going to be awesome to go in there and co-op and just destroy everything, call in, you know, fuel air bombs and drop those places, getting A-10s, and just, you know, just alone. Anytime you have a plane in something and you allow multiple people in it, you've basically created your own game within a game.
Yeah.
Where you just do whatever you want, see if you can play follow the leader, crazy bombing runs and stuff. Visually, though, it's remarkable in that it renders so much stuff and at such scale, but anytime you go up to anything, it feels kind of chintzy. And then when you're just walking around shooting, I mean, once you go from firing rockets in a helicopter to running around on the street, and since it's third person, you know, you just have a little dot and you wave it over people, and it's kind of like the pew, pew, pew.
Right.
Little,
yeah.
Because the thing that you get with third person games and times, the thing exactly that Gears of War overcomes and still uses that perspective by drawing you in close to it,
yeah,
and by combining it with the ability to sight your own weapon stuff.
Right.
But it kind of has that toyish, you know, vibe to it when you're running around and.
Can't wait to get another helicopter.
But it definitely, it's got some potential. I look forward to playing it. It's on my list now.
I need a good co-op game. I like me some co-op.
All right.
No more?
Anything
all
else?
Are we
done?
Anything else missing?
All right, yeah, this whole time you were just like, yeah, we're done, so whatever. I played a whole lot more shit. Yeah. I'll save it. Darren and I both played a lot
Quake
more.
Quake War's a lot of fun. I was actually kind of surprised.
We're there, dude, we can't carry on.
All right, all right, all right.
Shit on us, man.
Look, all right, fine. Forget. Just because I was making that face?
No, but for like 20 like, minutes, man. I can stare at the wall and talk to the wall, pretend it's someone listening to me.
I'm listening.
I can let's finish this piece of shit up. Let's talk to the guy who sent us the Netherlands, who sent us this.
All right.
You got us some letter. I'll pretend I was talking to him.
All right. Well, we just got this today, so the timing was good. We got a magazine. I think all right. We got the magazine over there from you, or is it here?
Yeah, you can read his letter. I'm not talking to you right now, man. I don't know where his magazine is.
We're breaking up on air. Here we go.
There it is.
PC Gameplay from the Netherlands. There's that the letter?
Dude, you know what, Sean, you and I, we'll just talk about Quake Wars after the podcast.
Oh, stop.
Well, there's Frontlines, Field of War. Yeah. There's an expansion for Microsoft Flight Sim that everyone wants to hear about.
Where were they showing that?
That was over in the Games for Windows section of Barker Hangar. Maybe you should have stopped by it.
I didn't go to Barker Hangar. All I heard was bad things about Barker Hangar.
What? About
seriously.
That was one of the best places to go.
Yeah, not according to certain people,
you could get a wide variety of games under one roof.
I would be like, I'm going to walk over to Barker Hangar, and people would be like, "Oh, dude, don't do that."
No, you get on a shuttle because it's a 20-minute drive.
Yeah, yeah, you know,
they were just telling you to get on the shuttle.
That's what pissed me off about E3 was that they had the shuttle going around to all the different hotels out there, and except for Barker Hangar, these hotels were like within four blocks from each other. In Santa Monica, which is not only beautiful and sunny out, but also it's completely fucking flat. It's level. We're used to walking around here in San Francisco where there's big hills.
Yeah.
So there is no incline whatsoever. It's beautiful outside, and they've got the shuttle going around, and you got these fucking fat-ass journalists sweating in their black T-shirts, like waiting for the shuttle. I was standing behind these guys, these fat dudes waiting for the shuttle. And I admit I was waiting for the shuttle. I was feeling a little lazy. But these guys are standing there, and, you know, they come every 10 minutes. And this one guy says to the other, "I swear, if this shuttle doesn't come in the next 2 minutes, I'm just not going to the demo. Just fuck it. It's their fault." And I'm like, why don't you move your fucking ass and walk then?
I know. I was waiting in line for one of these shuttles as well. And, like, I was waiting in line for one shuttle, and, like, similar amount of fat asses. And I asked one of the officials there, I'm like, "How far is the Fairmont from here?" He goes, "Oh, it's just like a 10-minute walk." I'm like, "Well, fuck it. I'll just walk."
Yeah, I mean, I walked everywhere. It was no big deal.
Barker was the one place that you would...
Yeah, Barker is a shuttle.
I could see that.
But actually, I thought it was kind of... Barker was...
And it's not that it wouldn't... If you walked it, you would get lost unless you were local. That was
to
the
Barker
deal, too. Yeah, you would just... It was just... It was out on an airfield somewhere.
Why did they
it's
have...
A hangar.
So that was... I mean,
that
I
was
actually...
The one, no, that was
I know
one,
that we dissed E3 for months leading up to the show, but I actually enjoyed myself for the most part. I didn't go to that hangar, but the one thing there is like, why... This isn't the time or place. I'm sure there is no answer, except maybe rent. Why that the main convention thing was so far removed physically from the convention proper.
Like floor space.
Hotels.
That was the biggest like
empty
floor.
Just how that
planner.
Is. It's like that's what they're talking about. Vegas is a likely contender for next year. You know, you can do the same thing, but everything is closer.
What did you guys think about? I didn't go to the hangar, but I know it was done on a kind of all things being equal sort of thing. Where what?
Ryan's like. Weren't we going to talk about Goldmember, the Dutch guy that wrote us?
No, Ryan's looking at me because I said fuck Vegas.
Oh.
Too many bad memories. I can't go to that town no more. It gets me in trouble.
Really?
Yeah. Never mind.
Does it get you in trouble too, Ryan?
Hell no. Well, yeah.
Do you gamble or do you go to the strip clubs?
I gamble.
Yeah, right.
He collects cards.
By gamble, he means dropping dollar bills and seeing what happens
like
to him.
It's Pokemon.
Gambling, yeah, he's trading Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
You get it.
Well, you know, on the street corner, the Pimpalupas give you the little like flyers for.
He trades those like Pokemon
for escorts. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, for escort services, they have that. They have that little thing where it's like, and they stick it.
I choose you, blonde Russian girl.
There's a big article in the LA Times about how much money Los Angeles lost this year because of E3 being scaled down so far. And one of the little sub industries that hurt the most was all the women who normally would get hired out as booth babes. Turns out a lot of those women actually, you know, make a lot of money every E3, and that keeps them going for a while.
There were that many of them, I guess.
There were.
Yeah, think about it.
Actually, I thought you were going to say the people that got hurt most are the guys who sell the bacon wrapped hot dogs on the street corners.
Probably a lot of those guys too. Yeah.
So back to our
Barker Hanger.
We're talking about our leather our leather from the Netherlands.
Oh, our letter from the Netherlands. Yeah, we got a letter today from a young man by the name of I'm sorry. He listened to the podcast. I'm sorry, I can't speak Dutch, so I don't know how to pronounce your name. It's Petrit, P-E-T-R-I-T. Petrit. I'll just put on some random accent. Petrit.
Some people in Belgium speak Dutch, so in Belgium's close to France.
All right, so Petrit de Haan. Petrit de Haan, H-A-A-N.
True.
He wrote us from The Hague in the Netherlands.
Gold member for short.
I'm going to read his letter, but and it's in broken English. I'm not doing this to make fun of him. It's just this is what he wrote, okay? But since none of us could write a broken letter in Dutch.
Yeah, this is like huge props to, I mean.
Right,
yeah.
He actually was able to compose a letter that we can read, and I couldn't compose three words in what do they speak there? Dutch?
Yes.
Netherlandies. Dear Jeff Green, you probably get like 10 of messengers every day. He said 10 of messengers.
Just correct it in your head as you read it. Clean it up.
You probably get like 10 messages, but I wanted to let you know I have something for the team and for the podcast that I think is really funny. He's playing games since he was 4. Well, enough about me. I want to tell you I'm a big fan of GFW and the podcast because I'm from Europe and I can't buy GFW magazine. Well, what's up with that? Why can't he buy GFW in Europe?
It sucks.
Microsoft, get on that.
Hook him up with Xenio.
We accept euros.
Yeah. But I do listen. I've listened to the podcast for over 9 months now, and I think it's one of the best out there. And I know this because I listen to about 12 gaming podcasts every week.
Holy cow!
Yeah, this man needs a little more to do with this.
Holy cow! Okay, ours are on average are like an hour and a half.
Yeah,
so
Petrit, if you're listening to me right now, turn it off.
Unless you have 6 months of like darkness, you know.
Go outside, something. Hang out and go meet some girls. Last week, I made a remix of what I thought was the best of the past. Hopefully, you can appreciate it. And maybe you could put it on the GFW podcast blog or maybe even on the podcast itself.
You're getting your wish, dude.
And you get your wish because when we sign off today, everybody listening, you're going to be hearing a kind of a Dutch disco techno remix.
I kept saying Goldmember because it's totally Goldmembered out, the song that you're about to hear.
Yeah.
Pick out your glow sticks.
Loving some techno.
Yeah, when we go out, you can thank Petrit de Haan from the Netherlands for our outgoing theme today. He is on 1UP if you want to send him a message with your your opinions about his. But be nice, because he did this. He sent us all the way from the Netherlands.
And remember that music that goes is pretty common in Europe. So.
Right. They're still on that tip, as am I. Anyway, his name is the Dutch Slayer over on 1UP.
True. And why didn't you go for the obvious, the Dutch Master?
Well, he says that, no, it has nothing to do with the band Slayer. I never heard of the band at the time I created the nickname many years ago.
The Flying Dutchman.
All right, so there's that.
So there we go.
There we go. Thank you.
And as we
Pet
roll
Treat.
Out,
is that it for us? No, you didn't even do your Heroes of the Web, man.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, we just set them up for when the time comes.
Okay.
You'll hear a song.
Well, when you hear the song, just remember this. But
dude, I don't even know if I was ready for this. But okay, so I kind of found this. I forgot. A listener sent me a personal message through 1UP.com and tipped me off to a post by a guy named Nanaki Wolfman. And that was hilarious. And unfortunately, it didn't print correctly, so I couldn't read the whole thing. But what I did was I took this guy's name and I put it in, you know, as a search term in Google and found that he's a busy guy. So he's posting on, like, Yuffie forums, which is a term for when furries copulate. And
wait, what's it called? Yuffie?
Yiffing.
How do you spell
Yiffie?
That?
Yiffie.
Yiffie.
Yeah. Remember. Huh. It was like Yiffie.
You're going to Google
something.
It later, Jeff?
Because no, I sent the link to a friend, and he was like,
on a couple
fuck
internet
you,
forums.
Dude. I'm not opening a link that starts with Yiffie.
Yiffie.
And so while I don't have that, I found the same guy posting on the Fantasism forum. And Nanaki Wolfman, his original post, what it revealed to me was that he was saying that it's social pressure essentially that makes us that makes, you know, a straight man think that like Charlize Theron is attractive or whatever, and that
wait, it's just it's social pressure.
Well, that it's entirely yeah. I mean, well, clearly, well, you know, whatever. Clear. I think he was willing to concede to some extent that yes, like. I don't know. I'm getting all.
But wait, if we could take the social pressure off and just admit it to ourselves,
then you would like what he likes.
Oh, okay.
And what
I
he
see.
Likes.
So
is,
it's not. It's
so
not
he's
our
freed himself.
It's not his problem.
The
it's
character
our problem.
That he must right. be called. The character must be known as Nanaki in the Japanese version of the game.
Okay.
But Ryan, help me. This is just Final Fantasy. It's not good. 7, is it?
That's 7.
Or is it 7?
Red 13.
Red 13.
Yeah, that's 7.
Is basically a lion. Okay. A very mean one.
And tattoos.
That he's attracted to?
So, yeah. So, in this thing, he goes on and he's talking about how, you know, how gorgeous and everyone would, you know, the scales would fall from their eyes and they would see how gorgeous and lithe and ferocious Red 13 is.
Wow. So, he's like out of the Matrix.
We're he's definitely out of the Matrix.
Liking our...
Swallowed something.
Okay.
Waiting for the laugh. It's supposed to be a punchline. Okay. So Nanaki Wolfman poses the question to his fellow Fantasism forum goers that would our characters really want us? And he says,
wow,
I'm not even ready for it. God, I didn't have a voice for this. I actually had, when I was singing about Naruto, I came up with some other voice. I already forgot what it
maybe,
was. I wanted
maybe
to work
emo
on it.
Nerd.
But okay. I just had a thought that if Nanaki were really physical on this world, what are the chances he would want me? I'm so passionate about him. But I think my wanting to be around him so much would simply drive him crazy. Nanaki doesn't seem the type to want to settle down, and from his experiences wouldn't really like to get that friendly with humans. In a way, I am glad that I can have him only in my thoughts and dreams. If he were real and rejected me, it would hurt badly. Now I can only hope to dedicate much of my time to showing him, whoever I think he is, that I do indeed care for him. So
okay, so not only is he fantasizing about this animated creature, he's already neurotic and needy for him.
Exactly.
Why won't
this guy
call?
Needs therapy now, in a bad way?
Why won't Red 13 call me?
Poster Enigma 13.
Maybe I'll play hard to get, then he'll want me.
Poster Enigma 13, who takes his avatar and his whatever after, I can't tell, is that Digimon or Pokemon? Some piece of shit looking thing.
Who's the expert on
hey,
Pokemon?
Hey, excuse me,
there.
They're
that's
very
Pokemon?
Different.
I think so.
Okay, so here's
a
Pokemon.
That's
a
Mewtwo,
dude.
Everyone, Mewtwo.
Okay, and he goes,
which Pokemon?
It's a critical question, and the answer is different for all of us. Some of us love malicious characters who would sooner kill you than love you. In those cases, we may be a little unrealistic in our hopes. Here's how I see it. I think that this immense need, this love, is something so strong that when we meet our characters, it will be something that they can't deny. I don't know about you, but if I could meet one of my loves and be friends, I'd be fine. I think if we don't approach them like crazy, love-needy freaks, then we have a chance with any one of them. And if we finally find them and ruin it by acting like possessive fools, then they'll probably take it as they see it and get away from you.
But if you calmly approach them and let them know the immense passion you feel, they may admit to it. They may not.
This guy has a way better chance of scoring.
I believe there's anything with the heart which shows some sympathy to our situation.
He's got a rap laid out.
He does. So a third guy joins in.
Okay.
Because this is a debate here. Like, this is not, you know, there's no.
How should we approach our animals? Okay.
It's either Gilmon or Gaomon, and this is definitely a Digimon. And he says, I agree with Enigmamon and with the one I love. Gaomon is an affectionate, loving, caring Digimon. He would be happy someone likes him so much. Of course, he may not understand at first, but he'd grow into it, and then he'd eventually feel the same about me as long as I show him the way I feel. I'm sure Nanaki would be the same way, maybe not as playful, maybe not as trusting, and maybe not as friendly as Gaomon would be at first, but he'd eventually get there. Nanaki's not a cruel person. He's kind-hearted and a little naive. Of course, there's a chance for both of you.
Then, okay, let's just keep going. Did you notice we had someone walk by?
Yeah, we had a couple people on the fifth floor walk by and give
us
weird
like that
looks.
Voice.
Yeah, they don't like that.
So let's take it back
a little too close to home.
Character.
Yeah, so
On a more liberal note, if their psychology is similar to that of humans and they have libido, then there's always a chance your character could be into you, even if he's not human. That would be interesting.
Then the super spastic one that they're gonna call security on me if I do again says that he hopes his character would be into him because he has a long-standing plan to marry him.
We're back to that again.
That guy that walked by ruined it, man. I'm gonna blame it on him. Why can't I come down?
Just
into
do
your,
it.
Into your
do
floor?
It. Come on. Like, screw
go
him.
Ahead. Go
screw
ahead
him.
And do it. Give
come
it
on.
Your best shot.
Okay. Okay. So, actually, here's a normal voice. So Steve, an unregistered poster who could very well be the person who tipped me off to this all these shenanigans, comes in and says they wouldn't. You aren't their kind. Chances are they would just use you for your money and leave you. It's the sad truth. Get over it. And then Enigma 13 responds.
Well, that's a pretty sad view of things. It depends on who you're talking about. For example, if you're a Digimon lover, it doesn't matter if your Digimon loves you or not. It'll be by your side always. So you may as well add some intimacy to the relationship.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's hot right there.
Yeah.
But for other characters, that may indeed be the case. The question is, will it be worth it just to have seen them?
I think we need to have a link to the thread because all these images.
Can we go back to that guy's logic?
Okay, he's let's saying go
that,
back to it. Yeah,
he's saying
that
no logic here.
Since they won't
Bullshit,
leave you
right?
anyway, you might as well have sex with them.
Yeah,
is that
he
was
says,
his point.
Your Digimon, it doesn't matter whether they like you or not because they're by your side. So I guess
so you might as well
here
bone
know
them.
Anything about Digimon?
I'm assuming it's just like Pokemon and they're kind of slaves.
Mm-hmm. No, right. I have you know they're totally different.
They'll obey you no matter what you do. So you might as well, in his words, you might as well add some intimacy to the relationship. I shudder to think about when someone takes that kind of reasoning to their pets and everything else.
Yeah, that guy shouldn't be allowed to have cats.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
dude, yeah. Poor children.
Yeah, or anything. You shouldn't even be allowed to have, like, a goldfish in a bowl.
Put the fish back, honey.
There's more.
I'm losing my voice from doing those voices, so I don't know if maybe we'll have to continue it next week. But this debate goes on and on and on.
Wow.
This is far from settled.
Okay, to
if
be continued.
If you need to chime in and you're listening, you think that maybe, Gabumon joins in. If you think that Gabumon or Miracle Maker or Nanaki Wolfmon or Enigma 13 are right, let us know.
It'd be interesting to hear what listeners think.
Yeah,
do you
what
think
are the opinions out there?
Should you just go ahead and have sex with your Digimons? Should you respect them more? Do you think that they would actually like you?
Would they like you
better? Would they like you better if you played a little harder to get, say?
You know,
this is kind of a love lines for...
As
for,
always.
For what are they called? Yiffies?
Yiffies. Yiffin.
Yiffy love line.
We're so used to this stuff now that when we open it... You know, there would have been a time a few years ago, if I had seen this...
You would have called the cops.
There would be no way. No, there would be no way. I would not for a moment believe this could be true. In fact, if you told me... that you loved Lara Croft and you were wondering if she would like you back, I would think you're the biggest dipshit I ever listened to. But then when you flipped it up, when you flipped the script and you come back at me with a fucking Digimon, I would not believe that at all. There would be no way.
Right.
But now we're so used to it.
Maybe we could be like a call, like an advice line. You know, like love lines. We could have people call in.
Yeah. Let's embrace them because we gotten so much mileage out of these dudes. You know what?
Call in call with your problems. We'll help you. If you're wondering if you should, you know, not be so needy in front of your Digimon, we'll have answers for you.
Yeah, just give me your personal cell phone number, Jeff, while we're telling them to call in.
Yeah, call me at. Yeah, maybe.
I've always felt I was grass type, but Squirtle is water type.
We could. That's some mileage there.
We're not making fun of these people, though. We are.
Dude, we did this exactly.
No,
the first time
we
had Sonic Passions, you said the same thing, and I am.
Oh, yeah, you're right. We totally are.
Then I got someone yelled at me on our message boards for being, like, I don't know, close-minded or something. It doesn't hurt anyone. I was like, well, that doesn't mean I can't fucking laugh at it. Like, it takes me some restraint to not laugh at that, man.
Well, you're just close-minded. You're close-minded, Sean.
I don't think you should touch your Digimon, especially if they aren't able to protest.
Especially if they're not into you.
Moral ground there you're crossing.
Especially if you're being needy for them.
Why won't you love me?
And if they can only say Pika,
I've trained you.
We need a documentary on this, you know, in the way that we've got like Trekkies out there, which is great, and all of their there's documentaries called Oki Noodling about fishing in Oklahoma with your fist for catfish. You basically lure them out of. Anyway, there's
what?
Documentaries.
Wait, what's that about?
It's a type of just basically hand fish. You use your hand for bait, and the catfish go into these mud holes, and they'll be very, very large. So you basically ram your fist down their mouth, and then they clamp up on it, and then you extract it with all your might. Or if you don't, you drown. They pull you down.
God damn!
It's a documentary.
That doesn't sound like fun. You get sucked into the earth by a fish.
Look it up. But so if we got
a great hobby.
If we got documentaries on this, Jonah style documentaries on this. Then we need one on. I don't know what I'm asking for.
Yeah, be careful.
I'm asking for it.
Someone's gonna start working on this tomorrow.
On this crew right here.
Okay. Wow, we went to some strange places there.
We talked about nothing but games for the entire.
We did.
Yeah, this is all.
Okay.
It's all good, Jeff.
Post E3, we had a lot of games on our minds. So those of you who listen for
too.
Everything but games,
you made faces. That's kind of what happened. You made faces when we wanted to talk about games.
I know.
Sean, we're not done. Bring that Yiffy stuff back.
I had a stink face. On. It was all too serious. So it was like I sharted or something. So I had a bad face.
1, 2, 3, 4. Sharty.
We like to shard.
Can we go home?
Okay, we're going home now. We're sorry.
5, 6, 7, 8. Sharty is great.
Yeah, we'll say we got piles of paper here with other random
9, 10, 11
on it.
Sharting is heaven.
Another song from you and Crispin, right?
We're done. We'll be back next. Will we be back next week? I think we will.
Yeah,
we'll be back next week.
Check out Gold Member song, and we're out.
Check it. Hello and welcome to the GFW Radio Podcast. GFW Radio.
Do you like it?
Listen to our podcast. Yo, yo.
How about this one?
Crew of GFW, which is.
Do you like it? How about this one?
Why don't you shut up and farm Tiberium faster if you want to help me?
Grandpa Sean!
Wipe that off your tourist destination spot.
This is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief.
Is it those damn retro notes? Darren Gladstone?
When you did vote, didn't you vote for games like Bratz Dolls and stuff? Ryan Scott?
Oh my god, that is just Dr.
Sean Malloy.
Don't the Germans like it?
Well, Darren, there's a significant difference between an ant
and
an
ant lion.
And an ant lion.
I've got this great idea where we're going to take off life and make a miniature golf course out of it.
Do you like it? This one.
This green's gonna kick his ass.
This multiplayer game sure is fun. Anyone? Hello?
Fuck Retronaut.
honestly is.
That's what arcades are like, the porn theater. You can do that shit in public.
Games for Windows Magazine, okay?
Strictly smell of rotting corpses.
McDonald's.
Sounds awesome.
It smells like Uncle Howie and the
How could I not want that?
It would smell like Ryan's house or something. I don't know.
If you're going to take a vacation, don't go to a place where bathing is optional.
Yeah, I think the very first response was like, did her skill force go up?
Guess what? Other game magazines stink.
That was our point of that.
I was just weird.
We'll put that quote in on the front of our next issue.
Our competition's lame.
Yeah.
Do we have anything else to talk about today? We need music. We don't have... That's why we're special here at DFW.
Anyone who's on right now is a geek.
Shut up. The Rust. Rammstein. Or not. Rammstein. I said Rammstein. Whatever. Rammstein. Or...
Are you a real lady or do you only sound like a woman?
Man, if you're a grandpa, I don't know what that makes me. It makes me like dead.
Hello and welcome.
Hello and welcome to DFW Radio.
We're all geeks.
Hey, mister, would you like some fries with that?
Yeah, just put it out there. We'll fix it later.
Do you like it? How about this one?
Reach the frame rate higher than 20 for 2 full seconds.
Good boy, good boy.
Hey, this is my second favorite podcast, Wild Trees.
Are you a kid?
I think it's great.
In a poop sock.
Scram.
A silk poop sock.
Silk
poop.
And Ryan's actually asleep.
That's awesome.
Only on GFW Radio.
I guess I was a little angry. LOL.
Guild Wars can die and go to hell.
What the hell are you talking about?
Wow, every one of our readers is a geek.
We know what happened to nerds and what nerds are now.
They just call themselves retronauts.
I love Windows. Have I said that yet? And games for Windows.
This 1UP podcast is brought to you by Doritos Unlock Xbox Contest. Visit www.unlockxbox.com to turn your dream into the world's first user-generated Xbox video game.